Du lytter til MediaCast. Hver uge tager MediaWatch fat på nyheder og tendenser fra medieverdenen. Denne gang skal det handle om et medie, som får masser af hype, men meget få annoncekroner. MediaCast handler denne gang om WebTV og det danske marked for WebTV. Danmark halter langt bagefter det europæiske annoncemarked, når det gælder WebTV. Endnu er annoncørerne tilbageholdende med at kaste annoncekroner efter video på nettet, og det er en hæmsko for medier, der vil producere kvalitetsindhold til nettet. Er det danske marked for WebTV i en dødsspiral? Hvornår sker der et gennembrud, og vil YouTube fortsat dominere markedet om 5 år? Det taler jeg med Roland Scharper, som er stifter og direktør for det voksende bureau SmartClip om. SmartClip åbnede sidste år kontor i København, og Roland Scharper har netop været forbi København for at tale om de største globale tendenser i WebTV på et seminar om WebTV og annoncering, som FDeam holdt. Og lad os først høre Roland Scharpers bud på, hvad det er, der er den største tendens i WebTV for øjeblikket.
I think the biggest trend is actually the multi-screen consumption. While in general we see digital video consumption by consumers is growing, but it is interesting that the consumption grows even more when consumers consume video content, what we call post-PC devices. So this is the smartphones, smart TVs, game consoles. All these devices are now connected to the internet. They have video offerings, and it seems like these devices are more suited for the consumption of longer form video content than what you see in a more lean forward environment when you on your PC or laptop. And that's the most interesting trend we see at the moment.
Sådan lød det fra ugens gæst i MediaCast, Roland Scharper. Vi gemmer interviewet med ham lidt endnu, for nu er tiden kommet til Medienyt. Anders Hering, du er chefredaktør for MediaWatch. Hvad har MediaWatch skrevet særlig meget om i den seneste tid?
Vi har blandt andet skrevet om spilannoncer. Der er, i forbindelse med liberaliseringen af spillemarkedet, så øjnede alle de danske medier jo guld og grønne skove, fordi at der var udsigt til, at de udlandske spiludbydere, de måtte annoncere og markedsføre deres produkter i Danmark. Og det har vi så fået nogle tal for, der viser, at det måske ikke helt har levet op til forventningerne. Det er faktisk skuffet lidt, hvor mange penge, der er blevet smidt i det danske mediemarked. Det er jo spændende at se, om det er noget, der kommer senere, eller det er noget, der bare er på et lavere niveau, end man har regnet med.
Hvem er det i særlig grad, der er skuffet over, at spilliberaliseringen ikke har ført nok annoncekroner med sig?
Altså man kan sige, det er nok TV og online primært, der havde regnet med at få en større stigning i annonceindtægterne på den her front, end de har fået.
Mm. Hvilke andre historier fylder i mediebranchen for tiden?
Så har vi skrevet om årsaftaler. Det er jo det er tid til på TV-området, de her årsaftaler, hvor annoncørerne og TV-stationerne, de prøver at blive enige om nogle faste aftaler for, hvad annoncørerne skal smide i annoncekroner til TV-stationerne. Og der har de så lige faldet på plads her efter nogle intense uger med forhandlinger. Og det ser ud til, at der er en svagt stigende omsætning på den front. Ja, det er jo selvfølgelig altid spændende i TV-markedet, hvordan det lander.
Hvis man skal se på den brede offentlighed, kan man sige, så der er noget, der har fyldt godt, og det er, at statsminister Helle Thorning-Schmidt, hun er mødtes med den amerikanske præsident Obama for første gang, og der har også været et medieemne op at vende i Det Hvide Hus. Kan du sige noget om det?
Ja, altså dansk mediepolitik, det er simpelthen kommet på den store politiske dagsorden, lader det til. Det handler bund og grund om, at herhjemme har vi barslet med en lov, der skal lægge moms på trykning på tryk af magasiner, der er trykt uden for EU. Og det har selveste Obama så sagt til Helle Thorning, at det synes han er en rigtig dårlig idé. Ja, så det er jo meget meget pudsigt, at han er dansk mediepolitik kommer på Obamas bord.
Ja, man kan sige, at konsekvensen eller konklusionen lige her nu, det er i hvert fald, at den her lovgivning om den ekstra moms på udenlandske magasiner, den er, foreløbig lagt på køl eller på pause.
Præcis.
Anders Hering, tak skal du have for at give os indsigt i ugens største medienyheder, og tak for nu.
Og så skal vi tilbage til ugens gæst i Mediacast, Roland Schaber fra SmartClip. Han fortæller her, hvorfor det danske web-tv-marked endnu ikke er på niveau med andre europæiske lande, og hvad der skal til for at knække web-tv's kommercielle kode.
In your presentation, you said that Denmark is lagging behind when it comes to digital video. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I wanted a provocative statement to the audience, of course, but it is interesting to see. We entered the Swedish market and Norwegian market about 1.5 years ago. We, of course, now have a presence in 12 European markets. And I think in all markets, we see that in terms of percentage of the digital ad spend that goes into digital video is much higher than in Denmark. The percentage of digital video versus total TV spend is higher in many other markets. So I think there is still a lot of opportunity where agencies and advertisers can use some of the advantage that digital video advertising brings, like all the advantages that come from the internet, like targeting one-to-one communication, still a bit underutilized. But just shows like we had here today, with a lot of people attending, a lot of interest from everyone in the audience. I think it shows that we're about to see a change starting this year, and that Denmark will catch up on that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of hype when it comes to digital video also in Denmark, and a lot of the traditional media like the newspapers, they do a lot of TV or video online. But why do you think we haven't not yet reached the point where you actually can earn money, reach the commercial potential of digital video in Denmark?
I mean, there's still a lot of homework we need to do as an industry. I mean, if we are trying to move some of the TV budgets to online video, claiming that we can use it more efficient by bringing incremental reach or more efficiency on the GRP, this is what we need to prove. I mean, the TV industry TV commercial is a very powerful advertising format, and there's tons of research over the last decades that proves it's working. So to convince the advertisers and agencies, I think we need to work on standards in measurement. And I think there we are further advanced in some other European markets. And I think we are very open to working with others in the industry in providing the data that is needed to bring the advertising budgets towards digital video.
But how do we actually know that digital video works? I mean, I think in your presentation you quoted Wikipedia and the wisdom of the crowds. I mean, believe that TV ads works. I mean, a lot of people when they ask what kind of videos or what kind of ads have made most impact on them and what do they remember, they often refer to TV ads. But how do we know digital video works?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that a TV commercial is very powerful in terms of bringing mass reach very quickly in a very efficient way. But over the last 3.5 years, we've run thousands of campaigns now on our platform, and we've done a lot of research with it. And I think we can prove that we can bring this little extra of efficiency to a TV campaign. When we look at certain target groups, and I'd say now, let's take a male audience, 14 to 34 years old. What we see, it's getting harder and harder and more expensive to reach them on TV. They are taking down a little bit on their TV consumption. They're watching more on-demand content, and that's exactly the audience that we have, our platform. So if you spend more money on TV, you have a lot of wasted views because you reach the older audience that watches TV for a long time over and over again. And you don't get the incremental reach that you need in the young target group. And that's one example where we've proven that we can make a TV plan a little bit more efficient by adding some digital video component. The other is that, of course, some of the ad formats that we have can be very interactive, engaging. We can personalize ads. So there might be broadcast content, but we will still show different ads to different people. People can share the video on Facebook, so we have a viral distribution to it. They can, within the video creative, order a test drive from their local car dealer. These are all things where we can combine the interactivity of the internet with the powerful TV commercial. And we have the research over the last years to prove that it's working.
Let me get back to something you said early on. That's let me get back to Denmark. You mentioned that you believe that 2012 might be like the tipping point or breakthrough for digital video. Why do you believe that's the case?
Well, honestly, okay, it's based on limited data I found from the day to day and speaking to some clients over the last weeks. I mean, we see significant advertising campaigns are being planned right now and about to be launched from major, you know, FMCG advertisers. And I think that's usually a good sign if the big spenders on TV start thinking how they can optimize their plan. We see in terms of the quality of inventory that's there now and the reach that is on our platform, that is at a level where we can really scale up and we can really take bigger campaigns from agency to bring the reach, scale, and efficiency that they need in their campaigns. And all that wasn't there last year. So I think we've come a long way and the advertisers are warming up to the idea and spending bigger budgets with us.
If you should choose a first mover here in Denmark when it comes to digital video, who should that be?
Yeah, on the publisher side, we're working with a number of the bigger partners like Ekstrabladet, for example. We've started working very early with, and they bring premium content to the market in a very professional way. On the advertiser side, we see companies like Coca-Cola now moving heavily in this direction and asking the right questions and starting with the first campaigns.
Let's have a look on the biggest players in Denmark. It's no surprise that YouTube is by far the biggest players when it comes to digital video here, also in Denmark. But who are the biggest players?
Yeah, YouTube usually reaches about 50% of all online videos being watched in any given market. And it's the same in Germany, UK, even in the US. And according to the numbers that we have, again, it's difficult at the moment to find one standard measurement tool in Denmark. But combining what the FDM is measuring, ComScore, and our own data, we believe there are about 400 million video streams in Denmark a month, of which 200 million are on YouTube, of course, mainly user-generated content, which is not that suitable for advertising, very little professional content. And after that, the players become much smaller. So the difference between 200 million for YouTube and probably the top player who comes next, which be the public broadcasters here in Denmark, around 20 million streams is already significantly smaller. And from there, the market becomes more fragmented with player like Ekstrabladet, TV2, in the high single-digit million numbers. But it shows one of the challenges that an advertiser or agency has when they want to book a campaign that brings the reach that is comparable to TV. The usage is there on online video, but of course it's far more fragmented than booking with a handful of TV broadcasters.
So if we want to move on here in Denmark and become a more mature market on digital video, what should we do?
I think we need to work on a standard for measuring media data for web TV and digital video offerings, like the FDM has done for all the other internet offerings. That is still missing for the video part. We need to prove to agencies and clients with all the research we've done, probably initially that we've done in other markets, that this can be a very efficient addition to the TV plan. We need to work the first campaigns that we're running here in Denmark, doing research alongside with them to prove it's not only working in other markets, it's also working in Denmark. we need to bring premium content online. There's still a lot of content owners waiting in the docs to see if really monetization is working, and that's limiting us a little bit as well. We need to make sure that technology is available easily and cost-efficient ways so that more content owners can start at a small scale and grow from there. So there's still a couple of things to do. But as I said, we're excited that a number of big brand advertisers are moving seriously in this space already this year.
Mm-hmm. So let's have a look at the future. How do you think the future looks for the biggest players? Like YouTube, will YouTube still be leading in 5 years, or who will be in charge?
I think if you count all video streams, YouTube will still be leading in 5 years because they have such a strong position on the user-generated content platform. What we see in the more mature markets like the US, looking at the number of streams by months, YouTube usually has between 40 to 45% of all streams being a strong position. The next 2 to 3 will then be 3 strong content publishers. It's the traditional broadcasters are in a very good position to achieve that, or it could be a strong publishing house traditionally coming from the print side. And then you have aggregators like SmartClip, like ourselves, who usually aggregate all the medium niche content sites to become relevant for advertisers and agencies to book at scale.
So from your point of view, the future looks very bright.
Yeah, I'm very optimistic. The last 3 years already have been very successful. I've grown the business a lot, and I think the best years are yet to come.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tak til ugens gæst, Roland Schaber. Denne Mediacast er den 37. udgave, og den er produceret af Mielsen Media for MediaWatch og podcastet med hjælp fra Podconsult.